God's been, what He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to do. And so I hope and trust and pray that you've had a good and prosperous day. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking there in the book of Hosea. I'll give you a moment to find that. In the book of Hosea, if you can find the place there, I'll give you a second to find that. We don't use that often, but here we are tonight. We'll be using a little bit of that in the book of Hosea. And as you turn there in that chapter there, we'll be looking there in chapter number 1 to start out with. Israel has done some stupid and evil and sinful things, and bowing down to idols and going and chasing after the whoredoms and the children of whoredoms in the land, according to verse number 2. And here's what he says when you begin to look there in about verse number 9. And then said God, call his name Lo-Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Our Father, bless your word to every heart tonight. We do thank you for it, and how good it is to be in the house of God. And what a horrible phrase that we could hear from thee when, if you would not be our God. Forgive us where we fail thee. And dear God, we thank you and praise you that thou art God from everlasting to everlasting. Beside thee, there is none else. Now bless the word to every heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now Israel, as you well know, that went off into captivity and, of course, was punished by other lands, namely in Babylon and other places like that, simply because that she had not obeyed the Lord. She had gotten away from God. In the country that we're living in, and I love America, but let me tell you right now, this one nation under God that we used to call it, now is one nation without God. But we have got the infidels marching in the streets that are praising Allah and praising all that Muslim religion, and they're in defiance against God and Israel, who is the apple of God's eye. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that God did not let that escape, and what a horrible thought that it would be. Now, by the time you read verse number 10, there's going to come a time Israel will be like the sand of the sea. And the very place where he said, you're not my people, he said, you will be my sons. You'll be the sons of the living God. But right now tonight, what a sad note that is. What a sad tone that is for God to tell a nation, I'm not your God, and you're not my people. Now, how does this happen? How does the people get into that kind of a shape and that kind of a language? Well, I can tell you right now is when they hear that kind of language, it's because of the fact that whenever God said, hear the word of the Lord, they just didn't do it. I want you to look in verse number 1, chapter 4. He said, hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, look at that, nor mercy, and nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing, and by committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with beasts and of the field, and with the fowls of the air, and yea, the fishes of the sea, and also you shall take them away. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, here's what began to happen, is that they got to the place in their heart and their life is where they begin to mix and they begin to mingle with the rest of the world. That's how it starts out. You lose a little bit here, and you lose a little bit there, and you wait, sort of like wading out to the ocean. You wait a little bit, then you get waist deep, and then you're chest deep. It's not long, and it's pulling you on in. You can't stop it. In the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find that Hosea has brought a pointed message unto them, and as a result of that, you'll find that in chapter number 7, look in verse 8, in chapter 7, in verse number 8, he said, Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. I want to say that, if you will, that when you get away from the Lord, that you find yourself, as a result, mixing and mingling with the rest of the world. Do you know if you mix and mingle with the world long enough, you'll go to thinking like them? You'll go to wanting to look like them? You'll go to wanting to act like them? I mean, that's just the way that it is. Evil communications corrupt good manners. I remember while you're turning, do not lose your text here because we're going to be looking at it, but I want to show you a passage over in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is a passage over there that we ought to look at. And when you're finding that place over there, and you can just kind of hold it there, I believe it's in chapter number 6. And yes, it is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I can remember years ago, you know, whenever we first started out in the ministry, is that every now and again somebody come up to us in church that had an unruly child. Now, I don't think we've got any unruly children here that I know of. I know most of you, and you'd be striped up and you have your britches dusted or something. But anyhow, they'd come and here's what they would say. Oh, I just was wondering if my kids could play with your kids and maybe some of that good, polite, and yes, sir, yes, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, might rub off on them. I said, no, no. See, that's a thing you have to teach. That's not something rubs off. In fact, is if you put a healthy child and a sick child together, be sure to thank Madison for taking that sickness at home and keeping it there for a while. But if you put a sick child and a healthy child together, the sick child's not going to catch health. The healthy child's going to catch a sickness. And if you put together two children, saved and lost, evil communications will corrupt good manners. See, in the land that we're living in, you're going to find out across the country. Wouldn't you hate to have your kid stuck in a public school system with some pervert, with somebody that's anti-God, somebody that's in the woke movement, somebody that's teaching Baalism and Muslim and all of that? Wouldn't you hate to have to contend with that every day of your life? I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that evil communications always has, always will, it will be tonight, and that is it will corrupt good manners. Look in your Bible and notice, if you will, please, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. And the Bible said in verse 16, we'll take up reading there. Now, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. In other words, if you're saved here tonight, you are God's temple. He lives on the inside of you. And he said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And he said, for ye are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now let me tell you, God hadn't changed his idea or doctrine whatsoever. And what happened to Israel is that they got to where that they were dibbling and dabbling in other religions, and they didn't believe the truth of God. As a result of that, they began to mix, they began to mingle, until finally that they got to doing things and going places and being involved in what the wicked world was involved in, and it brought the hand of God against them. Now there's a passage over there in the book of Psalm, and we'll look at it real quickly. I believe it's in chapter number 105, 106, that's where it's at. Now the Bible says in chapter 106 in the book of Psalm, verse 34, and they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. In other words, God told them, won't you go in, destroy, remember the Amalekites and people that like that, and people that were sacrificing their kids to idols and devils and things of that nature. They were to be destroyed by the hand of God and through the Israelite. But they didn't do it. He said, but in verse 35, but they were mingled among the heathen, and they learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. And yea, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto devils, and they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed unto idols in Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. I got to say to you, the next passage says, and thus were they defiled with their own works, and they went whoring with their own invention. Now, I got to tell you, what it did was it kindled the wrath of God against them to where he abhorred his own inheritance. In this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, back over there in the book of Hosea, you're going to find out that's exactly what they began to do there, is that in chapter number 7 and verse number 8, he said, Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. You ever cook a pancake, and on one side it's getting done, the other side is still raw, and all that, it's never completed the job because it's only one side of it. I got to tell you right now, that's what God said happens whenever you try to yoke up and mix up with the rest of the world. Make no mistake about it, is that you'll find, he said, strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Isn't that something? In other words, when the devil's shucking the life out of you, you won't even know it. I'm always reminded when I read a passage like that, I'm always reminded of a man by the name of Samson. What a mighty man that he was. I mean, how'd you like to be able to pick up a jawbone of an ass and kill 1,000 many enemies of God with it like old Samson could? But laying in the lap of Delilah, finally the Spirit of God leaves him and he wists not that he's gone. And I tell you, I believe that's kind of the way in day and hour that we're living in. I remember hearing an old preacher years ago make a statement and say, you know, if God never showed back up at all in America, I think that probably 95% of Americans would never even know he didn't show up. That's true. In the average Baptist church, I got to tell you, is that outside of adrenaline, they'd never know it. They'd never be able to know it. Listen, when you look into the blessed word of the Lord and God brings to your mind a chapter, a book, and a verse, see, that'll be the truth of God you can grasp. And you can let God hide it and sink deep down into your heart. Notice that, if you will, please, that in this lesson that we're looking at here tonight, is that there are several things. The downfall of Israel happened whenever in verse number 8 and verse number 9 that we've looked at, and that is that Ephraim began to mix himself with the people. And Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, and yet he knoweth not. I got to tell you, is that that's in the day we live in, kind of the way that it is if you look out across the country. Now I want you to look in your Bible, if you will, please, and see in the book of Psalm, chapter number 126. In the book of Psalm, when I look over there in that passage, it makes me realize and know that slavery is a bad thing. People in captivity, that's a bad thing. And Israel had to go into captivity because of the fact that she had turned her back on her maker, and namely the Lord God of glory and the Lord Jesus Christ. In this lesson that we're looking at, here's what he said in verse number 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Now, do you realize that when God opens up the way for you? And I got to tell you right now, I'm glad that I'm heaven bound, hell proof tonight. If you're saved, so are you. And I'm telling you right now that we're not home yet. We're not at heaven yet. Until then, we're going to have to suffer some heartache and heartbreak. We're going to have to fight sin. Sometime you and I are going to have to repent of our sins. You're going to, have to realize that, oh, that there's a God in heaven that knows every move we're making, and that he'd lead us, he'd guide us, he'd direct us. If you and I will seek it, that will seek his face and be able to walk in the paths of righteousness. But until then, friend, we're going to have to deal with death, destruction. We're going to have to deal with those that are in the world that have no regard for God, the Bible, and that which is good, right, moral, and decent. Let me tell you, Israel, whenever she realized at home that she's about to be set loose from being captive, they said here in verse 1, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. You know, when God does something good for you, even the heathen world can see it. I mean, they're not going to have part of it, but they recognize good when they see it. God's not going to be good to them on a credit, but they can see who God is being good to and what God's done to change their heart and their life. I think about, you know, in the lesson that we're looking at, is that when God saved, he changed your direction, he changed your thought, he changed your desire, he changed your life. And all that business right there, and make no mistake about it, is that, hey, it's like a dream that's too good to be true, but it's not. It's too good to be true, but it's not. And I'm gonna tell you something right now. When you begin to look into this lesson that's here, old David, sometimes he'd cry out unto God, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Remember that? You and I don't have to pray that. We've been sealed with the Spirit of God till the day of redemption. Now, we may lose the joy of our salvation. I'm glad I can't lose the seal of it. I'm glad I can't lose the fact that I'm safe and saved and secure in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'll never have to be able to pray, Lord, please don't take your Spirit from me. I'll tell you, I want God to lead, guide, and direct me, But make no mistake about it, that he sealed me with his Spirit until the day of redemption. And I'm looking forward with great anticipation to being able to see him come again. You know, we started out, me and Brother Ron, we was hoping as close as it was that the Lord at least let us have one more season. And then all hell began to break loose. Of course, I'm close enough to tagging out now. Even so come Lord Jesus. See? I said all that to be able to say this, is that when you begin to look into it, that when God's done great things for you, other people around you can see it. And let me tell you right now, whenever you're just kind of playing both ends again in the middle, people of God can see that too. I don't think tonight when we're looking here in this lesson is that you and I are anything but honest with God, and if not, then you'd better get honest with him. Now, boy, in this lesson here that you're looking at here, you'll find out is that they said something like, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And let me tell you right now, the most sour-looking people on the face of this earth look like our Baptistic folk. We ought to be glad in the Lord and happy in the fact that we've been saved by the grace of God. I want to say to you that when you begin to look at this lesson that's here, there's a lot of people that are spectators that are looking from the outside in, and they are going to see the difference that God has made in your heart and in your life. There's a proverb in chapter number 25, don't turn there, verse 25. As cold waters to the thirsty soul, so is good news from a foreign country. I want to tell you what, I don't know about you, but I could use some good news tonight. And you know what good news is? I'll tell you what it is. It comes from the word of the Lord by the hand of God. And while hell's crashing all around you, God's got you lifted up and keeping you safe and hugging up. Now, I got to tell you something while you look into this, is that you'll find out is that God won't despise anybody that's trying to follow him and being able to walk in his word and by his will and by his way. In fact, it is the Bible said over in the book of Psalm 56, you ain't got to turn there, but he puts our tears in a bottle. Now, here of late, God's going to have to get a pretty good-sized bottle for us. Guarantee you right now. Sometimes, you know, we try to keep it in and trying to keep it back because of somebody else that may need that extra strength. But then there's a time, you know, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry. You see what I'm talking about? And let me tell you, there's no shame in that. Every now and again, somebody needs to be able to see and be able to know that when God squeezes our heart, it makes juice run out our eyes. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know him in the free pardon of sin. There's a psalm, and I'm closing with it, over in chapter 51. It's about verse 17. And here's what he says. Sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Now, I got to tell you, is that when God sees you and I with a broken heart, listen, because we've not been able to serve him to the fullest like we thought we would or could and should, but let me say to you that when our heart's broken in humility before God, God said, I won't despise that. I won't despise that. You know, it's a good thing to be able to know him in the free pardon of sin. And I don't know about you, and I'm troubled about a few things in the world we live in, but I can tell you what I'm not troubled about at all. When I pillow my head tonight, I'm confident if I don't wake up here, I'll wake up on a street of gold. See what I'm telling you? I hope you have that assurance. If you do not have, you can have, because of the grace of God and because of what he did at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us. We praise you and we thank you that thou art God and beside thee there's. We ask you, Lord, that you'd hug up tonight everybody in this building. Our families real close. Strengthen us in the inner man and help us face the days ahead. We want to say thank you for loving us even while we were unlovable. Now watch over all these requests that have been mentioned. Lord, those that are traveling, those that are sick in the hospital tonight, Lord, I pray you'd have your will and your way in Jesus' name. Amen.